Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Amen. Can you believe how fast it's the 2nd of February already? And we're in the brand new year. And we are expectant, Lord, of that which you will do in the midst of us again today. Let's open in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we give you all praise for today. We give you praise for family. Yes. We give you praise for life. We give you praise that we've got two hands, we've got our legs, we've got our feet. We can praise you with our whole being. And you said in your word, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we're here, Father, to praise and magnify your holy name. And we lift you high in the midst of us again today, Lord. As we're in the Central West, Lord, we lift you up in the Central West. We lift you up in our nation. We lift you up in Papua New Guinea. We lift you up right across this whole world, Father, that you be glorified, Father, that you will draw all men, all women, all children, youth, babes unto you. For it's not your will that any would perish, but all receive eternal life. Father, thank you for the new life that you've blessed us with. Thank you that we can know you more and more and more as we press in. And Father, forgive us of our sins. Thank you for forgiving us through the precious blood, Lord. And we roll all our cares, all our worries, all stress, all over to you, Lord. For you are so good. Thank you, Father, we can walk free. In Jesus' name, because of you. So let's join. And if you want to stand, if you want to dance, if you want to shout, just go ahead. Don't worry about who's around you. Just praise the Lord. Amen? And if you're not feeling so good today, infirmity or whatever, there is power in the name of Jesus and you can be healed and set free. Glory to God. Amen? There is power in the name of Jesus.
I'm
No matter what circumstance you may be facing or may be coming this week, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the army of the Lord. Amen. All the gates of hell shall not prevail against the army of the Lord. As we march along, we sing a song of the Lord. This is my desire. Thank you. read in God's word, Solomon discovered that life is not built on things, but on relationships. And the first and the foremost relationship is having a relationship with our Father, with God our Father. And how do you find God? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can have a life-changing relationship with God by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Peter and I would like to share a new song that the Lord has given us, blessed us with. He shines as a morning star. I pray you'll be blessed. Set us free. that brilliant light shine out of the darkness is the one who has cascaded his light into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of our Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving the glory always. And I pray this has blessed you, and just praise him wherever you are, for he loves you. Pastor Paul is coming now, and the best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Morning.
Morning.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Let's take a moment. God's always got a plan. Plan for what? Plan to take you from where you are to where you need to be.
Amen.
There's a specific place where you're assigned to be, where the blessing is. So your obedience lines you up with the promise or the provision of God. So that's why we are so thankful that the Holy Spirit in us causes us both to will and to do, or to will and align, right, through obedience with the provision. So why is it important to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit? Because he is aligning you and I with the provision that God's already made. Right? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 or verse 10 to start here this morning. And I'm reading out of the Amplified at this minute. The emphasis today is use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Okay? It's amazing how they say, well, once you've learned how to ride a bike, you never forget how. That's true. But when it comes to those spiritual gifts that you receive, if you allow them to be dormant, the life that's in the gift is so reduced that it takes an incredible amount of recommitment, faithfulness, and focus to refire it. It's not impossible to refire it, but it requires time, commitment, and focus to get it back. This is why this use it or lose it. It's supposed to be rivers of living water, but flowing. So it should be flowing. Flowing, not becoming stagnant, not dammed up. So if I hide my light, I've already become stagnant. Do you follow? Because it's not flowing. It needs to be flowing. So the concept, use it or lose it, is where we're at today. And in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, Amplified Classic, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. You got born again. You got born again. You were recreated. You were separated from God. You did not have the Holy Spirit in you. You were a stranger to the covenants of God. We've been recreated We've become a brand new human species in Christ. Right? Born again. And that is God's workmanship, according to his plan. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. It's easy to think that I've received new life and then I learn to adapt parts and pieces of that new life. I haven't necessarily grasped the whole idea. Why am I here? Why did God create me? What's the purpose? And so if I'm trying to find what I'm all about, I've missed it entirely.
Amen.
You are God's idea.
Yes.
You're not your idea. He planned you to fulfill his purpose, his dream. You're a partner with him fulfilling his dream.
Amen.
The old life is all about me. And most of the time, the old life is focused on one thing. How do I survive? How do I catch the least amount of flak coming my way? How can I be invisible? But God's created us for his purpose. Now, to fulfill his purpose, he has a path. It's already preordained. And he says, when you hit it, it's a narrow path. A narrow path. Psalm 23 tells us that when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, fear not, right? Now that's like walking on the edge of a cliff. What we can't see is that there's a parade of angels either side to ensure that we are not going to fall, that we're going to move forward in that narrow path that's leading into the discovery of life. It's God has already been to the end of your life. He knows exactly why you're here.
Amen.
For his purpose. And he also knew that you couldn't do it by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. Now, we've received the Holy Spirit when we were born again. We weren't immersed in him until we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? But we've received him. Now, he's not a freeloader. He's not a trespasser. He's our helper. He's not our doer. He's our helper or our partner. Right? Now, it'd be like me. Ask my wife to marry me, and then I'd park her in a closet. And when it comes time for dinner or something, I pull her out and put her to work to make the dinner. And then when dinner's over, I throw her back in the closet. How good's that going to go?
Not good for you.
And yet, okay, you got the point. That's how we do the Holy Spirit most of the time. Are you hearing me? That's how we're doing the Holy Spirit most of the time. Because we are trying to live apart from him. We are trying to live outside of the partnership and we're asking him, oh, please help me in my endeavor to survive. Instead of embracing the partnership that we have. You know, people say, well, I want a divorce. Why? I've fallen out of love. I don't love them anymore, right? And we've got a whole heap of reasons why people can go and get a divorce. It's the mindset that I'm looking at here now. Because I fell in love with them, I marry them. But why would I marry them if I have to commit to a lifetime of partnership to achieve the purpose that God put me here on the planet for? So, those who God joins together, let no man put asunder until death do you part. So, and then he says, this joining together is a mystery. In Ephesians, he tells us that the Holy Spirit is the seal from God the Father as an engagement ring. If we're talking about an engagement ring, well, we are set to be married. Well, the church of Jesus Christ is the bride, and the Holy Spirit is the engagement seal, right? Until I embrace who he is and start to acknowledge him and realize that I have to give him permission to live his life through me, that's not going to happen. Jesus is Lord, the head of his body, the church. But the fingers and the toes and everything else is telling him what to do. Does that sound right? There's something wrong with that too, isn't it? Can you see what I'm saying here? All right. We talk about unity in the church, unity across all the denominations and so forth. But when you look at the word unity and how it's placed, it is our unification with Jesus Christ as Lord, the head of the body. So if I'm in right relationship to Jesus Christ as head of the church, well, then I'm automatically going to be in right alignment with the rest of the body. When I'm out of submission to him, I'm out of submission to every other part of the body. So my focus should be my submission to Jesus Christ as Lord in my life, acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and allow him to come into the union. You know, John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, Father, that they will become one with us as I am one with you and you are one with me, and we will be one with them. So the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost wants to live in you. That's amazing. If I don't start to pray with that in mind, I'm never going to be in the right place at the right time. So God's gone right through to the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. Amen. And that's why he's always got the plan. Yes. When I have lost my way and I'm getting my head beat up, why? Because I left the narrow path pursuing what I thought was a great idea, except I walked straight into hell. Was that God's plan for my life? No. Has he got a plan to get me back? Yes. But I needn't have gone down there. You're right. So, Dr. Kirby says that the first several years of marriage is war. Because you've got to learn to work together. The apostles exhorted us to submit to Christ in each of us. So submit to one another. So not lord it over one another or exalt ourselves over someone else, but submit. So what is it? What is that? I'm looking for the way to move forward together. Not to find an occasion to be offended or distracted or disunified, but flow together, contributing my insight, my giftedness, my abilities, as I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if he's in his rightful place, in his temple, our bodies, he's in that place to will and inspire me then, to will and to do. The mind of Christ then is influencing me, right? And it's quite interesting. Now, faith focuses on the character of God and his ability to do what he said he would do, right? Now, I can believe that God is capable of doing what he said he would do, but believing is a verb and believe is a noun. So I can say, I believe that by his stripes I'm healed, and I have not appropriated it. I have not gone from believe to believing. Like the man in Mark 9:27. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Remember that scripture? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I believe. So it says, when I believe, I place confidence in. But when I'm believing or I'm persuaded, I am persuaded of it. So when I believe or I'm believing, I'm persuaded of it. What's that mean? I then can commit. Do you understand? So like here I am. What type of commitment are we talking about? Like we go down, husband and wife or fiancés, down to the altar of God to stand before a holy altar of God, and I'm there to commit to something. I'm fully persuaded that this is the right woman for me. Out of all of the other women on the planet, I choose this one. Not anyone else, this one. I'm fully persuaded. You see, so because I'm fully persuaded, I commit. What? Everything. My name, my resources, my potential, everything. Everything. I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, that unbelief is the unfaithfulness, the faithlessness, the disbelief, a want of faith shown in the withholding of belief in the divine power. So this is the struggle that is happening. So when Jesus was talking about activating the miraculous, he was saying, have faith in God. Right? Have faith in God. So faith revolves all around your trust in God's ability. Right? Now what happens when I have my faith in God and I've been born again and I have the Holy Spirit in residence? The Holy Spirit, who is the power of God, agrees, and his life flows in to my commitment. His empowering presence enables me to do what I otherwise wouldn't be able to do. He enters in. Right? When Adam committed high treason. Now we talk about high treason because the kingdom of God is the government of God. And he treasoned himself against the government of God. What did Adam lose? He lost the government of God and the governor of the government. He lost the Holy Spirit. King Saul, when he disobeyed God, he was stripped of his kingship, stripped of the kingdom, and stripped of the Holy Spirit. Samson, didn't matter what Delilah did to him for the several occasions, he still went out, shook himself, and slew the Philistines because he was still having the anointing. The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? But when he told her that if his hair's cut, he breaks his vow, his covenant with God, and he would become like an ordinary person. She cut his hair. He lost the presence of the Holy Spirit and his supernatural enablement. Can you see what? So if I want the power of God, well, let me put it this way. Let's go over to John chapter 14. Use it or lose it. Have faith in God. And this divine pathway that God has set for us, that is resourced in every way. So if we're in God's path, we're walking in the center of the kingdom of God. Right? If we're in the center of the kingdom of God, we're not short of anything. Okay, verse 9. John 14, verse 9. I'm in the Passion now. Jesus replied to Philip, "I've been with you all this time and you still don't know who I am." So the Holy Spirit's been with us all this time and we still don't know who he is. "How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. For he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me." But for him to do that, Jesus had to be in agreement. Isn't that right? And so God doesn't want to do it apart from us. He wants to do it with us. "Believe that I live as one with my Father." So I live in harmony with my wife. I don't feel depleted because I'm with her. I'm enriched. I've gained more wisdom and insight. I have doubled my ability to be productive. Like, the benefits of being in a team is beyond question. When I have experienced failure, and my soul needs to be healed. You see what they say? Well, you don't want to take your baggage into your next relationship, for instance. or you don't want to take your failure mentality into your next business venture. You have to deal with the failure to be able to enter into the new. Right now, can God do that? Well, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. But you've got to open up your born-again spirit for the Holy Spirit to flood your soul with his resurrection healing power. We still okay?
Yes.
All right. So my point is, don't let failure rob you of a potential relationship with the Holy Spirit. Right? So to be able to enter into that union with my wife, I had to learn to trust her. I needed to be able to turn my back and know she wasn't going to stab me. I needed to know that she wasn't going to betray me. I needed to know that she wouldn't break a confidence. I needed to know I could trust her. And so the more I developed that trust relationship with her, the more the harmony was seen, and the more harmonious life became. I wasn't facing it alone. I was facing it with my partner. You follow? Okay. Believe that I live as one with my Father, and my Father lives as one with me. So as I was saying, that as far as the husband-wife relationship is concerned, we're supposed to flow together harmoniously. And it takes time for that trust, and out of that trust is born respect. And that respect is based on integrity. There's no lies in a successful union. There's no lies. There's no hidden anything. It is transparent. It's not my money, your money, this, that, you know, like it's it. So when I'm dealing with the Holy Spirit, I'm dealing with the entire kingdom potential of God abiding in me. That's why he said everything that you need for life and godliness has already been deposited in you. The kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. If you lose the Holy Spirit, or you reject him or deject him or put him in a closet, ignore him in your life, you have shut him out. You have. I have. Right? So the idea is, hang on a minute. Wow, if I'm going to walk in that preordained plan that God has for me to fulfill, that's why when I come before him to receive my rewards, he's going to ask me, what did I do with the talents and the gifts that he gave me? To do what? To survive on this planet? No! To fulfill what he put you on this planet, to fulfill according to his plan.
Amen.
The greatest thing is that when he's standing at the front of your heart and he's knocking, he's wanting to come in and fellowship with you and reveal to you his plan. Empower you to fulfill it. So it's not all bad news. We're not dead yet. We're not standing before him. And if it was too late, God wouldn't be God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He knew we'd be here now. He knew that this was the message that he's going to convey through me. Is any of this in my notes? No. Why isn't it? Because he wants to put a message out today. It's not too late. God has a plan. He wants you to partner him. He doesn't want you to try to do it on your own. But that's awkward. You know, by the time when you're trying to teach somebody a new skill, by the time you teach them, you could have done it yourself. So it's very frustrating at times when you, but if you persevere and you train that person to do that task, then when they are doing that task, you've doubled your output, haven't you? So it's far better that we put in with patience the training up of somebody to do what they need to do. Yeah? Okay. So it's difficult to come into partnership with the Holy Spirit, but it's the best investment you'll have ever made.
Amen.
So how did it? Holy Spirit, I need to get to know you. Make an appointment. You turn up. Where is he? Lo, I will never leave you. Do we have to praise and worship God to get the presence of God? No. Why? Matthew 28, 20 tells me that he never leaves me. Never. The Holy Spirit has come and he lives in me and abides with me forever. So what is it that prevents his manifesting his presence? My mindset. You know, when Joseph and Mary were looking for an inn, and there was no room for Jesus. I've got to make room for the Holy Spirit. I'm too busy. All right. Believe that I live as one with my Father and my Father lives as one with me, or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I've done. So who does the miracles? God. Verse 12, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith. So what was the example? Jesus talking about oneness with the Father. And that he's allowing the Holy Spirit to inspire him, the very words that he's going to say and the things that he's going to do. So here is this agreement. You know, I have a partnership with a friend of mine, and we're in partnership together, and it's 50-50. So we work together, 50-50. We made a decision to work together 50-50. I got married and there's 100-100. You're right? So, I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith. So, Jesus is my example. So, what did he do? Did he lose himself because he worked as one with the Father? No, he actually was, what did he? He became the firstborn again among many brethren. Look at how productive his life in union with the Father is. Continual. Right? Okay, so we're coming to it. I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, so believing is the verb, remember? It's the verb. So that means I have become fully persuaded, therefore I have fully committed. There's no turning back. There's no other way. I am in boots and all. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. What?
Do the same miracles.
Okay. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with the Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to. For I will do. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bringing glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I'll do it for you. The Apostle Peter and John, gate beautiful. Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Okay. Now look at that. Isn't it amazing? So Jesus is telling us here right now that this is the scope of the union partnership that we have, that we in union with him, invoking his name, can release the same manifestation of God as he did. But we don't believe it. No, we don't believe that. We don't believe that we've got the same authority as Jesus had. How can we do the same thing as he did and not have the same level of authority? How do we have the same level of authority as he had in his name? What did he ask us to do? Have faith in his name. My wife took my name. We have a checkbook. Oh, now we have a, what do they call those cards? Key card, is it? FBOS card, debit card, credit card, and it's got a name on it. Right? Whatever debt my wife goes into, or whatever purchase she undertakes, I'm attached to it. Because her name is my name and my name is her name. Even though the world says, oh yes, but we can't talk to you because you're not your wife, and we can't talk to him because you're not his husband. You know, they go, oh, we can't talk about him or that or the other. And what a mess. You can understand the way that the world is today, that why they do that, but the same, it is the same token. You'd have to prove that you're not encumbered by the liability that they undertake. So you're going to have to go to court to do that if you're going to do it. But normally, if they undertake something, their debt becomes yours. Their liability is yours. Their contract that they entered into is yours. Whilst they got your name. So he says, anytime you present my name, I'm liable for it. I'm good for it. So you don't need a credit card when you're dealing in the name of Jesus. You have a debit card that draws down from the kingdom of God where there is more than enough. But you have to have faith in the name. So that's what deals with the authority question. The authority question is answered when I'm in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm walking as one with him. Okay? So he says, the words that I speak aren't even mine. So here is this. If Helen and I are going to come into an agreement, we'd have to have a discussion first. If I go and make a decision and do something apart from her, and then try to explain what I did afterwards, knowing that she's got the responsibility and the liability of whatever it I've made a decision on by myself. I've ignored my relationship with my wife, so I'm not in unity. I'm not in agreement. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So what's the benefit of getting into agreement? Go to Matthew 18, 19. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer, my Heavenly Father will do it for you. Okay, so if I get into that agreement, here is the working power of God in operation. What did Jesus experience? When he got into agreement with God, God did these mighty miracles through him. So what does it tell me? Why? I need to get into agreement with the Holy Spirit, and I need to be in agreement with, you know, if I'm married, I need to get into agreement with that. If I'm involved with vision in the church, I need to get involved with it in the right way so that the benefits of it will flow in this lifetime and in the life to come.
Yes.
You still with me with this? Okay. So all this power here is available to us by faith in the name. That's why he said to, in response to the disciples, when they said, well, how did you speak to that fig tree and it dry up from the roots? How did that happen? We heard what you said to it, and within 24 hours it's dead. How did you do it? He said, have faith in God. He said, okay, so it's not, I believe in God. Noun, say noun.
Noun.
Noun. Okay, I believe in God. It's a noun.
Yes.
It's not, you see, so I think, one day I'm going to marry my wife. My wife's a lovely person. One day I'll marry her. I'm talking about what I'm projecting to do, but I'm not committed to it. The disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast that devil out? He said, because of your unbelief. Okay? Because of my unbelief. Wow. So what didn't they believe in? The name. What didn't they have? Union. What didn't they have that Jesus had? The inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The agreement with the Holy Spirit. Somehow or other they got ahead of him. They become presumptuous. And they lost that union, that partnership, that awareness. You know, Jesus warned them about that. They came back and they were so excited about the wonderful things that was happening. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. What, he put the presence of the Holy Spirit on their lives, just like Samson had, just like Moses did, just like when Moses died and then the anointing, the Holy Spirit came on Joshua. So the Holy Spirit came on them. With us, the Holy Spirit comes in us. So was there an occasion where Jesus wasn't able to do something? Yes, in Nazareth, his hometown. And he could do with them because of their unbelief. But it was more than that. They rejected him. Aren't you Joseph, the carpenter's son? Aren't your brothers and sisters here in this town? Who are you? Like, who do you think you are? He was dealing with a total rejection of who he was. Okay, he says a prophet's not welcome in his own hometown. And that's what he was dealing with there. Now, up until then, whatever he was inspired to do, the Holy Spirit worked the work. Okay? So together, they work. And this is where we keep coming back to this, use it or lose it. Eternal life, let's go to John 17. And he says in verse 3, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God and to know the experience Jesus Christ. And to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son to whom you have sent. So there's this intimacy. Like a marriage is not, it's not a marriage until it's consummated. And when it's consummated, the two become one flesh. They get joined together. That's when I give my heart to Christ, I become one spirit. I am joined to Jesus Christ. And I become a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. But then I'm getting to know and to experience the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son. So there's this intimacy. Look, so I don't just see it as a place that I go. It's a relationship that I have. And I'm either working the relationship and building the relationship and flourishing in the relationship, or I'm not. In that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, may grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So, the knowledge. I've been married now 50 years. And I've got to know my wife pretty good. But is there some things that she can still surprise me with? Oh yeah. But I know her pretty good. And she knows me. Right? She already knows what I'm going to say. Where's the socks? May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So I've got to get to know him. And not as a noun. I've really got to get to know him. Can I get to know him like that? Yes. Why did I ask my wife to marry me? To be honest with you, I didn't love her when I got married. Love, you know, the love. I fell madly in love with her through the years. I spoke to my parents before I asked Helen to marry me, and I asked them, was I mad to ask my wife to marry, or ask Helen to marry me, given that I didn't love her like I had experienced what so-called love was previously? But what I know is that she's the right woman for me. Do you follow? And they said, if you know in your heart that this woman you can commit to, then that's not madness. So based on that, I asked her to marry me. And she answered yes. What am I getting to? I entered into covenant with her, and she me. For good, the bad, the ugly. All right? And then, as a result of that trust and that respect on the integrity, I fell in love with her. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then I realized what real love was. I discovered the difference between infatuation, or the romantic infatuation that we call love, that only lasts a short period and it's gone. A commitment, it builds, and the love and respect and the trust and the value. So that's something that's wonderful. How do you value the relationship? Well, the Bible tells us that if you find a good wife, she's more precious than rubies. So if you really love them, you value them. And so that brings... Okay, so if I'm going to be experiencing the love of Christ, and I need it and you need it, I've got to learn about him. I've actually got to pursue that. I'm going to stay there in 2 Peter for a minute, but I'm going to read to you in John 17. This is Jesus praying just before he went to the cross, okay? From verse 20. And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day, so that's me, believe in me through their message. That's me. So he's not talking about them 2,000 years ago. He's talking about you and I who believed on their message. I pray for you and me. And so I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience, the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Now, that's telling me that God's got a truckload of love he wants to give us. Well, why are we blocking him from doing that when we desperately want it? Am I getting through here today? Or? So this is his impassioned prayer for us before he goes to the cross to seal it all. And so, and in verse 26, I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them. Well, shouldn't that be our prayer? Jesus, reveal more of the Father to me, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. When we start to allow that to sink in, just how much God wants to pour his love out into us, and to start praying the right type of prayers to connect and open up the door. So, Lord Jesus, come on, Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my heart for the Father to love me as he loves you. Forgive me for closing that opportunity off. Through ignorance. But I'm coming alive. And I'm waking up. And it's never too late. I'm a late bloomer. But I'm going to bloom in your love. Love on me, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the door's open for you to love me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him. Of knowing him. Who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world, or that of our carnal nature, the old nature. And then he goes on to describe how to develop that relationship in the next several verses. You can read that yourself later. Right. So I'm just praising the Lord. Romans 14, verse 17. Kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. For the kingdom of God is in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? My mother asked. 17 or 18. We don't know. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of the rules about food and drink, but is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. Serving the Anointed One by walking in these kingdom realities pleases God and earns the respect of others. So, I'm looking for the miraculous. I need to hook up with the Holy Spirit. With me? Luke chapter 12, verse 28. If God can clothe the fields and the meadows with grass and flowers, can he not clothe you as well? O struggling one with so many doubts, I repeat, don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. So here is an exhortation for us on mindset. Mindset. Don't let worry enter your life. So to allow worry come into your thinking is to give it invitation to stay. What's it carrying? What is worry carrying? What does it manifest? Fear. But God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. But I'm the one who gives entrance to it. Now, fear is the opposite of faith. It works under the same principles. It'll give you an expectation. It'll give you a vision. It'll give you something horrid. But it's a lie because it hasn't happened yet. Truth is God's word. So why do they call it truth? Because regardless of whatever temporal thing we see, hear, or experience, it's subject to a higher power called truth. Facts have to bow to truth. John 17, 17, my word is truth. A struggling one with so many doubts, so we've got doubts. Worry will bring doubts. It enters your life. It enters your life. What does it mean, it enters your life? What if I stand out the front of your house and I knock on the door? You have a look through a peek hole or something and you see it's me and you say, man, I'm not letting that clown in. You're right? So if I stand at your door and I'm knocking at the door and I'm worried, you're going to let me in? Because if I come in. I'm going to impact. So don't let it in. It's going to produce doubts. It's going to manifest fear. It's going to white ant your relationship. Okay? That's like somebody saying to you, who was your wife with the other day? I said, I don't know. Well, I saw her give this bloke a hug. Well, he must have needed one. Yeah, but it didn't look right. You sure your wife's okay? You sure she's doing the right thing? She's not cheating on you, is she? You sure you can trust God? You sure you'll come good with meeting your needs? Oh, no, look, you know, like, look at the situation. Can you see anybody else getting their needs met like this? A little bit of religion's okay, but you don't want to go overboard. Doubt. But yet I want. I'd say, what did the guy look like? And he said, oh, he's pudgy, got a beard and an affable character, and he's always laughing. And he said, oh, that's my brother-in-law, Peter. He said, I mean, like, I don't even think for a moment that my wife's out cheating on somebody. Do you follow what I'm saying? You couldn't convince me in the slightest that she is. She's had 50 years of opportunity. And she's remained faithful the whole 50 years. So, can you see what I'm saying? God says he remains faithful even if you are not. You could say, well, I've never had a relationship like that. That's all right. You have not because you ask not. Right? He says, all right, Father, I want that relationship with you. Lord Jesus, I want that relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I want that relationship with you. And so then I'm looking on my prayer and they say, but where are they? Here. Here. Do you hear yourself thinking? Do you hear yourself having a conversation? You do, don't you? You could be sitting there with a stoic face, and people think nothing's happening, but on the inside, boy, oh boy, what a conversation you have. There's some more tin right there. We have a fly. And it's going to be dispatched. So my point is this, that if my experience of relationships are shattered and broken, I don't despair. So I've got to have faith in God, okay? And I'm going to open up my heart to Him to heal me. Because when I'm broken on the inside, I'm not in a position to be able to give. You understand? Like the framework and the structure in me is all protective. So that all has to be healed and become whole. And thank God that Jesus does that. And it's wonderful that He does that. And I've seen thousands of people be brought back into wholeness as a result of the love of God working to bring wholeness back into people and to set them into a position where they can love again. But the interesting thing is that when we find out what real love is, it in itself is liberating. Okay, so let me finish this here in Luke chapter 12. I repeat, don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. So I can choose to focus on my lack, or I can choose to focus on God. If I choose to focus on God, now I'm in a position to hear from the Holy Spirit and to partner with the Holy Spirit. You know, the disciples came to Him and their objective was feed 20,000 people. With what? There's, you know... And He said, you can feed them. Now, He brought to their attention, don't look. Mia's got the fly spray and the fly just landed on Mum's head. Oh, gosh. Oh, that just... a dilemma. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. God's got a good sense of humor. People everywhere. Okay. Don't let worry enter your life. Live above anxious cares about your personal needs. But a fly that's just constantly annoying you is something else, eh? All right. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living. But your Heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. As you passionately seek His kingdom above all else, He will supply your needs. So you can hear what I'm saying. You've got to understand, the devil knows you, right? He knows your triggers. He knows what gets you bent out of gear. He knows how to present. All right? But you've got an instruction here. The power of God has been deposited in you. Who knows where everything is? Everything. How to get out of this mess? Where the extra finance is? Where the car repair is? Or, you know, it's time to trade that thing in and get something else. Right? And the time, the person, the vehicle that you get wasn't even on the lot until 5 minutes before you turned up. And it's a pearler. A one in a million. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if I allow worry, doubt, and cares to take my focus, I'm not going to be able to hear, perceive, or be open for the blessing that God has. Remember, he's preordained a path. He's assigned to us angels that if we're sensitized to them, they'll tell us if we're too far to the left or too far to the right. We'll get a prod, you know, just a tap. We just sense it. You're on the bike or you're riding a horse, and you riding a horse, you've got to become one with the horse. And when you see, if you're not one with the horse knows straight away. You lean with the horse, you work with the horse. You have a balance, you have a rhythm, and you communicate. You're tuned in. You can sense them. The animal's talking to you. If you're on a bike or a motorbike, it's the same. You're listening to the engine. You're listening to the revs. You become one with it. You're driving a machine or a truck, anything. You become one, and it becomes an extension of you. You enter in. Am I making sense? So we enter into the kingdom through partnership with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. So everything that you need. So here's this situation that they had. What do we do to feed 20,000 people? And he said, looking at it through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, you'll see the 2 fish and 5 loaves is enough. Never despise small beginnings. Everything big started small. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. Can you accept that? Well, how do I become fully persuaded about that? I've got to meditate on that. But how am I going to meditate on it? As a noun? Or am I going to experience the partnership? There was that song years ago, dream, 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 dream. When I want you, somewhere all I have to do is dream. Oh, you can have all the dreams you like, boy. Oh, what a real hug. You can fantasize all you want, but I want the real deal. I don't want a religious fantasy. I want the real relationship. God's not a man that he should lie. He's telling us the truth. This stuff is available. We've got to get in and take it. And everything is in me. Okay? So the 2 fish and 5 loaves was multiplied. And there was a process. Was the Holy Spirit involved with making that miraculous multiplication? Yes. Obviously. Because Jesus said, it's not me who does it, it's the Father in me that does the work. And now we have the Holy Spirit in us. You know, the reason that Jesus came was so that we would get the Holy Spirit back. Adam lost him. Jesus come to make sure we got him back. And the Holy Spirit is the same as Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? I think it is. So he says, so don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom with all of its promises. So how do I get that promise into me in such a way that I'm fully persuaded? How do I do it? I've got to meditate it. Right? I start thinking, instead of thinking about what I don't have, I start thinking about building my relationship with the Father. The first thing is, I understand he wants to pour out his love on me by the truckload. Yes. Not a mini bucket, but a dump truck. Right? Huge. He says, cascading, overflowing love. Awesome. And Romans chapter 5 tells us it's the Holy Spirit that sheds that love abroad in our hearts. That cascading comes by the Holy Spirit. So I think, okay. So your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom with all its promises. So these promises. Now, next verse he says, go and sell what you have and give to those in need, and you will be making deposits. Say deposits.
Deposits.
In your account. Say my account.
My account.
In heaven.
In heaven.
An account that will never be taken from me. Your gifts will become a secure and unfailing treasure deposited in heaven forever. Where you deposit your treasure, that is where you fix your thoughts, and your heart will long to be there also. We have a heavenly account. How about that? I didn't write that. And it's connected with the kingdom of God. They know. Okay. I'll never forget when he said to me, the reason that you have trouble making a withdrawal, Paul, is because you've never put nothing in the account. You put some in the account, you have no problems making withdrawals. Okay. Praise God. I am a little bit excited. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Have you had enough? Can you take a bit more?
Yes,
got to ask the right people. If I ask some, they'll say, I'd had enough 10 minutes ago. I avoid looking at those people. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength. Here we go. This is what Christianity is all about. Be supernaturally. Well, we can't have supernaturally without the Holy Spirit. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union. We can say marriage with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Now, are we talking nouns or are we talking verbs? Are we talking I know of them, but I've never met them? Okay, I'm hearing this, but I've never experienced this. If this is available, I can ask for it. I don't know about you. I started reading the Bible to find the small print stuff, right? I wanted to know, what would make anybody want to be a Christian? What made the Apostle Paul? I wanted to know. Well, I found out. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For the terror of the Lord. I found it. I found where his motivation was. He had to give an account to the boss. You're right? He thought he was doing the right thing by God, killing Christians. And he found out he was on the wrong side. And then he was entrusted with this great mystery to reveal to the world, right, of who Christ was after the resurrection in the believer. He had to give an account. But glory to God, he finished his race, he kept the faith, and he received his reward. Amen. Say, I want it too. I want it too. Now, if this stuff was happening in the inside of you right now, or in the inside of me right now, don't you think that we'd be looking at the world differently? Be supernaturally infused with strength. So I'm supernaturally infused with strength. Through my life union with the Lord Jesus, I'm standing victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, what is this? Is this a noun scenario? Can you see what I'm saying? This is just the religious rhetoric that I know that, but and I just say that, but I've never experienced that. I've never experienced the greater one in me, flexing in me. I'm married. I lay in bed with my wife. If she moves, I feel it. She can't do nothing without me experiencing it. And vice versa. She starts interior decorating in the middle of the night by snoring, readjusting the roof. It affects me. And she says, but you snore too. And I said, I don't snore. And then I woke myself up snoring. I said, my wife doesn't seem to pray enough in tongues. And he says, listen. And she, my God, she's praising tongues in her sleep. The greater one's in us. Anyway, praise God. So he says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. So here is the worry, here is the cares, here is all of the concerns. Don't let them in. Are we here? Okay, so put on the complete set of armor provided for us, that we will be protected as we fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Now this accuser is up there day and night. The kingdom of God is based on righteous justice. So say laws. Okay. Laws are set in the natural realm and in the spirit realm. And the law, the spiritual laws, govern the kingdom. When we violate the law of the spirit, the devil's got it. We live our life based on these precious, powerful promises of God. And they are all yes and amen. So he's already approved us having them, enjoying them. Because we've been made the righteousness of God. We're not trying to become righteous. We're made righteous. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, which means everything he has, we have right to. It's God's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom and everything in it. Right? Why aren't we enjoying it? The accuser is blocking us. By the law. We've been redeemed from the law, as the Ten Commandments and all of that. But there's the law of the Spirit of life and peace. Right? There's a law of faith. There's a law of righteousness. There's a law of forgiveness. There's a law of giving. There's a law of receiving. Why is it a law? Because it works the same time, the same way every time. It's dependable. It will never change. If you get in harmony with it, it'll manifest. You right? Okay. So we've got to take care of this accuser. And as you say, be supernaturally infused. We've got to really come into this union with the Holy Spirit so that this starts happening. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. But yet we want to get our jollies and change the shape of somebody. We waste how much of our life trying to get revenge against somebody or run away from somebody's revenge. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Amen. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, and you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. So those negative, doubt-filled, fear-filled, anxious worries, concerns. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit, capital S, spirit. Take the mighty razor-sharp Holy Spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Now, with that in mind, take the mighty razor sharp Holy Spirit sword of the spoken. Say spoken.
Spoken.
Not thinking, spoken. Right? John chapter 6, verse 63. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural is of no help. The words I speak to you are, capital S, Holy Spirit, and life. That life, eternal life. But there are still some of you who don't believe. I'll read that again. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural realm is of no help. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. So when we start to use the razor-sharp Holy Spirit sword of the spoken word, we are in that position like Jesus was. The words that I speak aren't even my own. So if I want the power of the Holy Spirit to start working in partnership with me, I need to speak God's words as my words. Get into agreement. So I've got a bill and I've got no money. Do I let the cares and the worry and the pressure and stuff come in? Or do I take the sword of the Holy Spirit and release the spoken word in agreement with Him? Something happens. The words that I speak are spirit and life. So, what words am I going to be speaking? If I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit, what sort of words am I going to be speaking? Spirit words and life words. Last scripture for today. John chapter 1. verse 3. In the Passion, he says, and through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existed apart from him. And in the King James, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Say the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? All things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. So we take a razor sharp sword of the Holy Spirit, the spoken word of God. Nothing was made that was made without speaking the word of God. Nothing that was made without speaking the word of God. Nothing will change in your life without speaking the word of God. Nothing will change in your life without speaking the word of God. We'll go over, I won't go there now, but over in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, you'll see that the expression of the Word, God formed the world by the words that he spoke. Light be, light was. Nothing was created without the spoken word. Right? And we come right back to where we started. That it's God's plan, not our plan. He put us here to fulfill his purpose. And as soon as we start to line up with that, okay, so how do I get this word thing happening? All right, I need to have faith in the name of Jesus. When I use the name of Jesus, stuff happens in the spirit. It's not by might, nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Now when I realized, now hang on a minute, how do I get the Holy Spirit off the chain? How do I get him, you know, to attack? How do I position myself so that he is released to be greater as he that is in me than he that is in the world? How do I come to the place where he arises and my enemies scatter? How do I position myself so that when he arises, Deuteronomy 28 verse 7, and people will fear to come into your presence because of God on you. This is all in the instructions. So how do I do that? Well, I've got to speak. So I've got all this worry, all these cares, all of this, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can either agree with the devil and say, my God, I'm in an uphill race here. Don't look real good. Or I can choose to say what God says. And the minute I say that, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1's in place. My apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ, takes that confession and says, yes and amen. He goes into the heavenly court with that expression of the word of God that's yes and amen. My God meets all my needs in accordance with his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have given, and it shall be given unto me again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, will it be returned to me. For in the measure, right, the proportion of what I have, the widow's 2 mites and the rich people's tips, it's got nothing to do with how much, it's got everything to do with the sacrifice. So the widow's 2 mites was everything she had. And Jesus saw her. That woman would not have got out of that temple without having heard these men. So I say what God says. For I am God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. I'm born anew, that I may do these good works which God predestined, planned before for me, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that I should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for me to live. My God has planned my tomorrows, and everything I need, he has provided. I'm walking into the surplus provision of the living God who loves me, and loves me some more, who's given me his Holy Spirit and his blessings to enjoy the kingdom and all the fruit of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, fulfilling his preordained plan for my life. Fear not, for the Lord thy God is for you. Fear not, for the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Fear not, for the Lord thy God has sent his angel ahead of you to prepare the way, to ensure that you prosper on your going out and your coming in. Blessed are you in the city, blessed are you in the country. Blessed is your wallet, blessed is your bank account. I am blessed in my health, and I'm prospering even as my soul is prospering in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the development of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm a bit encouraged. I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself this morning. And I preach myself happy. I preach myself out of doubt and into faith. I preach myself out of worry into certainty. I preach myself out of, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow, into, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus. Right? There's plenty of worries in the world, but none of them are mine. How about you? Roll them off. Roll them off. I've been writing this booklet, small booklet, on how to handle domestic violence spiritually. And as I've been working on that, developing a theme, one of the biggest issues that people are facing is care. The subheading is, how the hell did I end up here, broke, busted, and alone? How the hell did I get here? How did I end up here? How did I end up here? And the Holy Spirit just inspired me to deal with this care, this anxiety, this uncertainty. And I thought, well, maybe a couple of paragraphs, and it was a lot more than that. But thoroughly dealing with this whole issue of care. And I just praise God for that. And I'm I'm blessed with the opportunity of presenting that. So shortly it'll be available. Glory to God. So yeah. But anyway, as far as you and I are concerned right now, we've heard his invitation. He wants to pour out his love on us. Are you recipients for that today?
Yes.
Lord, I want to be a love bucket so I can be a love bucket. Yes. Russ has already got a couple of cargo trucks of love in him. Look, I'm going to get a convoy. As I'm praying for a convoy of love trucks for him. Praise God. He says, those that have been forgiven much, love much. It takes courage to be vulnerable enough to receive love. But I can tell you from my own personal experience, coming through all of the issues that I've faced through my life, you can trust him. You can absolutely trust him. Mm-hmm. To the place where you can be vulnerable with him. He is tender and gentle. He won't tell you a lie. When you're out of line, he'll rebuke you. But he rebukes you in love. The chastisement of the Father is because he loves us. And that's very apparent. You know what I mean? And you know when you've done the wrong thing. So he's not interested. You know, the thing is that when you've done the wrong thing, he's already paid for it. But you've got to fess up to it and get it behind you. I mean, you don't have to beg God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. But you've got to fess up for the legal stuff to be rendered in court. Okay? So you need the blood. But you don't have to beg, but you need to be repentant. Okay. So praise God. So that's where I'm just sort of like shaping up here for the prayer. So I can be vulnerable. And that's why we have the Word of God. This is our boundary. This is our checks and balances. Try all the spirits. Try them. So like we're dealing with supernatural. We're not dealing with natural stuff. We're dealing with supernatural. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be discerning. Okay, so if we're going to be open up, we want to make sure that we're opening up to the lover of our souls and not to some stupid, hairy, stinking devil. All right, and so the surest way of dealing with that is, Father, I bow my knee to Jesus Christ alone, and I'm asking you to ensure that I am never deceived by any smelly, ugly, horrible, lying, deceiving devil. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm trusting you for that, and I'm holding you responsible for keeping me safe. In Jesus' name. Right? And give charge to your angels. Set a watch. Okay. And then praise God. Open up. And if you praise to do that, that's all good. If you give him thanks, that's all good. However, but he'll come. And get ready. I'll tell you what, I believe we're in line for some massive supernatural exchanges. So can you get into agreement with me for him to pour out his love on us?
Amen.
So that we can be the vessels to release the love into the people he sends us.
Amen.
You heard our hearts, Father. We're in agreement. And we come to you based on Jesus' prayer in John 17. Make us one as he was one with you. We would that you make us one the way you and he were one, and that we'll experience the fullness of your love cascading over and through us in Jesus' name. So we fill our mouths an expression of our hearts, not as a noun, but as a verb, a commitment to connect with you at the level required to receive the fullness of the union and the overflow of your love, the same love you have for Jesus, pour it out to us. our Father, and we receive it by faith right now. In Jesus' name, we appropriate the promise of union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as seen in John chapter 14 and John chapter 17, in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you.